Is it just me? Or don't you think we have about the best arts and entertainment, music, praise and worship of any church in the world? What a blessing. Always they hit the mark all the time, and we're grateful for them. Excellent in every way. Now it's time to give our attention to the Word of God. All year long, our theme verse has been found in Deuteronomy chapter 1. You know the story. I repeat it almost every week. God's people had been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. At the end of that 40 years, they could see the promised land. And God gathered his people together and said to them, already, right here, right now, where you are blessed. God said, you have lacked nothing throughout the entire journey. You've lacked nothing. But then in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 11, he shifts gears and there's an escalation to a much higher level immediately when he said, but may the Lord God of your ancestors bless you 1,000 times more, just as he promised. And so this is the year we've been pressing in for the greater blessing from God, 1,000 times more. The disclaimer was not about money, at least not just about money. I think God's concerned with every need you have, even your financial needs. But what would it be like in your life if you had 1,000 times more favor, 1,000 times better quality of health, 1,000 times more peace at your house? 1,000 times more understanding, 1,000 times more wisdom, 1,000 times more influence, 1,000 times more. It's the will of God that we, his children, be blessed even 1,000 times more. And today in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, Paul writes one verse and says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And I'm talking today on that subject. God gives the increase. God is committed to blessing you. He's committed to your increase 1,000 times more than you know already. The definition says the word increase means to make greater in size, amount, intensity, or degree. So God is committed to making you greater, the quality of your life better than you've ever known before. And I pray, dear Lord, he doesn't make me much greater in size. I stepped on the scale this morning, and Brenda was watching. I said, I'm just going to see if I've broken my record. And I haven't broken my record, but I'm tied at my record again right now. The word increase is used 150 times in Scripture when I'm studying a word. I like to see how frequently it's used in Scripture. Now, it's synonymous with the word blessed in many cases, but that word is used hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. But the word increase itself, God gives the increase, that word increase used 150 times. In the book of Exodus, it says the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly. The Bible speaks of our crops being increased, the trees of our field, the fruit of our womb, our grain, our wine, our oil, our storehouse, our cattle, our lands, our vineyards, our riches, our wisdom, and our strength being increased. All of those are biblical increases. David in Psalm 105 said, he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. The Bible says the Lord will command an increase on your storehouse. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus said the seed yielded fruit that sprang up and increased. the Bible says about Jesus himself in Luke 2:52. Jesus increased in wisdom, stature, in favor with God, and in favor with man. Even Jesus increased. The disciples asked Jesus one day, please increase our faith. And in the book of Acts, we read that the word of God was increased. So God is all about increase. When it comes to his people, he doesn't want any limits put on his capacity to bless us. Now, it is possible, I've never understood it, I don't know how, but it's in Scripture, so I accept it as truth, the ultimate form of reality, truth, is that the children of Israel limited the Holy One of Israel. How can we, a finite being, limit the infinite Creator who made us, but yet we can limit God? There is no limit he places on himself. If there is a limit, it's the limit we place on him. In Psalm 115, beginning at verse 14, it says, may the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. May the Lord give you increase. May you be blessed by the Lord. Well, there's so much in Scripture about the heart of God being all about blessing us and increasing us. Not that we could be greedy, not that we could be hoarders. I've seen the TV show, don't want to hoard much. But he wants us to have everything we need, and then he wants us to have more than enough. I have a question for you. And this is a telling question. Answer it honestly only to yourself. What do you expect from God? What do you expect from God? What do you expect God to do for you and in your life? Because that's really what faith is all about. Faith married to hope gets us pregnant with expectancy. And that's why what we expect from God is so very important. There is a principle, it may be a natural principle, but it does apply in many cases. We get what we expect. We get what we look for, what we wait for. And so it's a good question to ask. What do you expect God to do? I'll tell you what I expect God to do. I expect God to be good to me. I expect him to. Not because I deserve it, and neither do you, but because that's his character, that's his nature. In essence, that's who he is. God is good. He can't be anything less than good. He is the great God, the most powerful God, and he's our Father. He's accepted us as his children, and just because of his nature, he wants to be good. David the psalmist expected God to be good to him. He said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. And what God has in mind for all of his children is that blessings follow us, not at a distance. But the Bible teaches that the blessings follow us and they catch up to us, and even that's not enough. The Bible speaks about a blessing overtaking us. Have you ever been overtaken with a blessing? Well, of course you have. The fact that you've survived everything you've been through and it didn't kill you, you're still alive today. Some of the things you've been through would have killed a lesser man or a woman. But by God's grace and because of his goodness and mercy that follow you all the days of your life, he's brought you to where you are. There's not one thing you've ever needed that he's not given you. Maybe some things you thought you needed, but he always knows best. And God's always been good to me. I have never had a complaint to file with God. He's given me at least some clarity on the old. Now, life has not been fair always to me, but it wasn't God. It was life. There have been some challenges I've had to deal with, but I don't blame God for anything. In fact, I thank Him for helping me get through everything I've been through. Every day of my life, I have been blessed, and I expect God to continue being good to me. He says, I am God, I change not. The problem with a God that doesn't change is He's always working change in His people. Hey, it's like, okay, God, one of us has to change. Oh, got it. God sends blessings that overtake us. We cannot run fast enough to escape the blessings of God. That's how committed He is to increasing. Now, you'll notice in this one verse of Scripture, Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered. Those are two natural things. Just not. Sometimes we're so spiritual, we are of not much good in the earth. Got our mind on heaven, and that's a good place to have it, but God has us here for a purpose and a season, and two natural things. Paul said, I did what I could. I did what I could and what I should. I planted. And then another person did what he could and what he should, and it's water. Two natural things. But then the spiritual kicks in, and it's God always that gives the increase to our natural efforts. Now, I believe the natural is first, and then the spiritual, in many cases. I'm not saying the natural is more important, more significant. Of course, you know better. But Paul says in the Corinthians, first the natural, then the spiritual. Many times, we don't place ourselves in a qualified position to receive God's best, God's blessing and His increase, because we've not taken care of natural things. We're all about the wine. We don't really care much about the wine skin, but it takes a new wine skin to handle a new wine. The natural things. Paul said, I did in the natural what I could and what I should. Apollos did in the natural what he could and what he should. And then God did only what he can. He gave the increase. God is up to increase in your life, and it's always a good thing. Our problem is never with the supply, because God is unlimited. Our problem, if we have it, is always with our ability to receive from God. The story's told about a fisherman. How many fishermen do we have? Huh? Come on, raise your hand. If you like to fish, I went fishing my last time about 35 years ago. And don't be inviting me to go fishing with you. I went fishing with Larry Pearson, our bass player over there. Wave at us, Larry. Larry took me out in his boat, and it was all rigged. It was all rigged. I caught nothing, and he caught about 30 in 1 hour. My cork was this far from his. It was all rigged, I know it. Larry, I'll tell you that I'm going to confess to you today. After all these years, I let you beat me. I let you beat me. I got all of the fishing I wanted that day. That's all I really wanted. But the story is told that a fisherman went out to fish and caught a lot of fish. A lot of them were big, but he threw the big ones back. He would only keep the smaller ones. Every time he'd catch a large fish, he'd let it go and throw it back and keep the smaller ones when he caught a smaller one. And a fellow that was fishing next to him said, hey, I've noticed you throw all the big fish back and you keep only the smaller fish. So what's up with that? And he said, oh, no big deal. I only have an 8-inch frying pan. So that's the way it is with us sometimes. We get our faith working, but only so much, only so far. We receive only a little when God has so much more he could give us, but we don't have the capacity to receive. So therefore, we limit him, but he wants so much to bless us 1,000 times more and give increase in every area of our life. He is not the God of just barely enough, but his name is El Shaddai. He is the God that is more than enough. The Bible says he blesses us exceedingly abundantly above all we can think or ask. Now that's a God that's committed to increasing his people. We're talking about the greatness of God's favor, and his increase blesses us far and beyond what we could ever think or imagine. In 2 Kings, I want to read 7 verses here. It's a story. A true story, by the way, of a prophet Elisha and a widow and her limited oil. 2 Kings 4, beginning with verse 1, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming." Oh, this is a widow with a problem. "The creditor is coming to take my 2 sons to be his slaves." So Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." And then he said, "Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors. Empty vessels, do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones." So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another vessel." So the oil ceased. And then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest." Now we can relate to so many elements in this story. Here's a lady who was a widower. She was used to having a prophet in her house. Her husband was a son of the prophet. Her husband, who had passed away now, was attending the prophet's school. And the prophetic voice that was a daily commonplace activity in her house had been silenced. Now she alone, a widow lady, was left to raise her sons, and there was debt in the house. So much so that the creditor was on the way, and in the culture of that day, if you couldn't pay your bills, then legally the creditor could claim your son as a slave to cancel your debt if it were necessary. And so she had a great need, but she knew where to go. She found Elisha the prophet and said, "I have a great need." He said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And then he asked her a question. This is a question for somebody here today. He asked, "What do you have in your house?" I know you need something you don't have. There's something not in your house that you need to be there. I get that. But the question is, what do you have in your house? Many times we need so much more, we don't even recognize that we do have a little bit we can work with. When you're looking at a crowd of 5,000 people and all of them are hungry and need to be fed, it's easy to overlook one little boy with a sack lunch with a few fish and bread. But yet, look at what you do have. And she said, her answer was, "I have nothing in my house." She could have stopped there. And in fact, I did stop there as I read it recently. I stopped there long enough to realize what a sad way to begin a sentence. "I have nothing in my house." And then everything changed. It's almost like a light bulb came on in her mind and in her spirit. I have nothing in my house but a jar of oil. I do have something to begin with. I do have something to work with. And that's exactly how God met her need, is he took what little she did have and he blessed it. He increased that. And notice here also how she was the one that determined the size of her increase. The prophet said, go to your neighbors. Don't borrow just a few now. You bring a lot of empty vessels back to your house. So she could have settled for just going next door. Hey, Nancy, you got an empty jar I can borrow for a day? My neighbor's Nancy. Nancy and I were talking in the backyard a few years ago. And I said, Nancy, I've got a gun in case we have problems in the hood. I said, do you have a gun in your house, Nancy? Do y'all keep a gun? I said, now, I got a gun, but I don't have any bullets right now. And she said, well, I've got bullets, but no gun. So I said, well, the importance, listen, the importance of being connected to somebody. Paul said, I planted, somebody I was networking with watered it. I did what I could, he did what he could, and then we both know the big picture. It was God who stepped in and gave the increase. After we had the natural things in order, that's why it's so important to be connected to others in the body. I love it when we get together like this, several hundred strong every Sunday, and we give God our very best, and he gives us his. How wonderful it is. But it's easy to come into a large crowd of people and even receive a blessing and do it weekly, week in, week out, without connecting on a deeper level with at least one person, because Paul couldn't do both the planting and the watering. He needed a partner. And this lady, with nothing in her house but one little jar of oil, needed the neighborhood that she was living in. For her, it did take a village. She could have settled for one jar from one neighbor, but no, she had a little more faith working. She was going to obey the instruction of the word of the Lord spoken by the prophet. And so she got all the jars she could find to obey the prophet's instructions, brought them into her house and did exactly what the prophet said do. You and your boys get in that room with that one jar of oil and the many empty vessels you find. Shut the door. Shut out the critics. Don't blast it on Facebook. Don't you wish there was one verse in the Bible? Just one verse. Shut the door. No complainers, no doubters, no grumblers. Just you and your bloodline. Shut the door behind you. And then he said to her, you poor. That's so important. You with your own hand, you poor. He could have said, call me when you're ready and the prophet will come over and pour. He could have said, call your favorite television evangelist and tell him you've got one bottle of oil and a lot of empty. Can he come over and pour? No, the prophet wanted her to know it will work for you. It will work for you in your house. What you got in your house is all you need to begin the increase God has in mind for you. It will work for you, so you do the pouring. And the Bible says, she began to pour from that one bottle of oil into all the empty vessels. And as long as there were empty vessels yet to be filled, the oil kept flowing. And it was only when every vessel was filled that the oil ceased. So she was the one to determine the measure of the increase God had given her. God didn't say, I'm going to give you 10 potfuls of oil, or I'm going to give you 25 vessels filled with oil. No, God let her decide. It was a natural thing. And so she went to work. She broke a sweat, probably, beating the doors down, all the neighbor's house. God's working a miracle in my house. Can I borrow an empty jar? And so that's how he met her need. Then the prophet said, go sell enough of this to pay off all the debts you have. And then there'll be enough left over for you and your sons to enjoy a great life together. Now, but I have nothing in the house but such a little bit. Blessings like this chase us down until they catch us and then they overtake us. Now, most of you know our church is blessed. We're blessed in every way. There's not one area where we're not blessed, and it's all God's goodness to us. For 31 years, God has blessed our church. And if you have been here long at all, or even been in town long at all, you know that God used a very natural thing to give us the greatest blessing. God used Walmart to bless us. And you know the story. We were down the street here a couple of miles in obscurity, actually. Nobody really knew where we were. And we thought, well, the Lord may want us to get a better location before we spend any more money building buildings. Actually, our bishop made that recommendation to us. Houston Miles. And that led us to a property search on South Irby Street, the main street right here in town. And prices were ridiculous on just empty property. And finally, we found a property down here, total of 22 acres, I think it was. And we got a deal and bought it. Actually, we didn't buy it. We just did the legal paperwork, and we were going to pay for it for years. And our plan was to pay on property for 5 years before we even began building. And about 3 months after we signed the deal to do that, Walmart decided they wanted that piece of property to build a Walmart. And we told them, we don't think we would be interested in selling until they told us how much they would pay for that property. Well, Mr. Walton, sir, we're just a little congregation. We got big hopes, big dreams. We don't have much in the house. And bottom line is, we sold where is the Walmart Supercenter now. And they blessed our church, paid off every debt we had, gave us enough money to come down here and buy these 12 acres, which we love just as much, and enough to get started on this beautiful building, which is now debt-free. But God has so blessed us, and a significant moment occurred. On a Sunday morning when I was in Russia, this was 18, 20 years ago maybe, 20 plus years ago, Billy Godwin was a guest speaker. And he stood in the pulpit on our House Springs Road property. I wasn't even here for it. And he ministered on a Sunday morning. When I flew back home, Brenda picked me up at the airport. And within 60 seconds, after I'd been gone 10 days, I thought she would be happy to see me and want to kiss all over me and things like that. She, within 60 seconds, she said, Billy Godwin gave a prophetic word to the church. I have it queued up. You've got to hear this. I'm thinking, my God, I'm happy to see you too, darling. And she pressed play. And Billy Godwin had spoken this word over our church congregation 20 plus years ago when we were in obscurity. He said, I see the Lord pouring finances into this church. And he said, and I don't mean a trickle or a little stream. I mean an avalanche. I mean a flood of finances into this church so that every need you have as a church will be met. And he said that while he was speaking that Sunday morning, and Brenda had it queued up, and I thought, well, that's always good to hear. What that was, in essence, God saying, I want to bless you. I want to increase you. I want you to, you're already blessed every day of your life. I've been good to you. And you're already blessed right here, right now, where you are. You've lacked nothing. I've been that good to you already. But I want to bless you 1,000 times more. And so Walmart changed everything, and that prophetic word was a significant moment in the life of the history of our church. Psalm chapter 35 says, let God's people say continually. Now, how many of you know it's important what you say? Now, I know that's been perverted and twisted and diluted and corrupted and compromised and mocked, you know, that you can get what you say, you can have what you say, you can blab it and grab it and all that, and I'm not into any of that. But it is important what we say. The Bible tells us what to say. And the power of life and death is in the tongue. The Bible says, by our words we are justified, or by our words we are condemned. And David the psalmist said, let God's people say continually, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. That's what we should be saying continually. Let the Lord be magnified. He has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. I'll give you one more prophetic word. It meant a lot to me when it happened. It affects another church, this one in Fort Walton Beach, Florida. And the name of that church just happens to be Abundant Life Church. Now, the pastor of that church, L.M. Thorne, he has been in heaven for the last 3 or 4 years, but he was a dear friend of ours, and in fact came and ministered at our church. He taught 3 days of a live course, Christian Life School of Theology, on our campus, and then stayed over on Sunday morning. But a great church in Fort Walton Beach, Florida. I've been to his church. 2,000 members, and I remember I've conferenced with him many times. Over the years, we've been in conferences together, and I remember saying to him, when I said, of all these hundreds of pastors here at this conference, you and I are the only ones that can hear clearly from God about how to name your church, Abundant Life Church. And his was Abundant Life Church, and they were in obscurity also. A nice property, beautiful, but in obscurity, and no main road nearby, and they were planning to sell and move and get in a better location. And a prophet, when I say a prophet, I don't want to spook anybody, somebody who can hear what God is saying right now and communicate it. I wouldn't want to be a prophet myself, because the prophet carries the mantle of, you know, God telling them, you go tell my people I'm saying this. And you know, that's heavy for me. Now, I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher. And that's my gift. And I'm happy with that. I don't want to be a prophet. A teacher is required of the Lord to go tell his people what God has said. That's easier for me. But to open my mouth and expect to tell God's people what he is saying right now in real time, I'll leave that to the prophet. But somebody gave a prophetic word at L.M. Thorne's church, Fort Walton Beach, Florida, and said, they were planning on moving to get a better location. And the prophetic words, God said, don't make a move. Stay right where you are and watch me work. And the word of the Lord said, I am causing the back to become the front. And they didn't know what that meant. But they realized, oh, my, we're thinking about moving, getting a better location, but we believe God may be saying this to us. And they weighed it and judged it. You're supposed to do that. So they decided just to rest for a while and put their plans on hold to see what would transpire. And within a few months, less than a year, news broke in that county that the state had decided to build a section of interstate that would run right beside the back of their property. And so instead of being in obscurity, they would have interstate frontage. All they had to do is make the main entrance where the back was. And God had told them almost a year earlier, don't make a move, stay where you are and watch me work. I am going to make the back the front. The back will become the front. And so they saw that play out in the natural. I'm telling you, God will sneak up on you from your blind side and pour out a blessing on you. Now, he'll do it a whole lot easier and more efficiently if you are expecting him to be good to you. Everybody stand with me for two closing verses of Scripture. The prayer team, if you will find your way to the front in just a moment, we'll give opportunity to pray for you if you have any needs in your life and would like.